Hussar 26. I want to just point out that in all these appeals here, there is a big emphasis on being spiritually minded. Both in Old and New Testaments, it is what you think about in your deepest heart, which is of the greatest significance to God. It is to be spiritually minded, which is life and peace, Paul says. And I think you have this idea here in verse 3, and perhaps Paul has this in mind when he says that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You will keep whoever's mind is steadfast in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Well, if we have a certain mind, then God will keep that mind. This is what the New Testament refers to when it talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is not, in our context, doing miracles, speaking in tongues, and this sort of thing. The emphasis is rather on the Spirit being made holy, being sanctified, God working in your mind, in your heart. And that is what we most desperately need. So even in the Old Testament, you have this idea that God will, as it were, get involved in the human mind. You will keep whoever's mind is steadfast in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Now, mind there, you will keep whoever's mind is steadfast. It's the word for imagination. We all have fantasies. We all have imaginations. When you're just walking down the street or whatever, you are just imagining this, that, or the other. What if this, or what if that, or, oh, yeah, he said this, or, oh, she said that, and that was funny, or that would be funny, or that would be strange, or whatever. This is actually part of being human. And yet the idea is that our imagination has got to be focused upon him, rather than just the random wandering of the unrestrained mind. So when we read that you will keep whoever's mind or imagination is steadfast in perfect peace, steadfast, literally leaning. And it's the same word that's used in condemning Judah for leaning upon Egypt for salvation, being steadfast upon Egypt. No, the idea is, do not trust in Egypt. Do not trust in any human strength, worldly, secular strength, but be sure that God is finally going to come through for you. Not immediately, but ultimately in your living forever in his kingdom. That is the perfect peace which will keep us and we will be kept in that mindset if that is what you really want. Now, further on in this chapter, as I say, the idea of being spiritually minded is so common because it's so important to God. See, verse 8, yes, in the way of your judgment, Yahweh, have we waited for you. Your name and your renown are the desire of our soul. Your dominant desire must be for the things of God's name and waiting for him. And the ultimate waiting for him is waiting for the establishment of his kingdom. In one sense, because God is not impressed by works to some extent, we are, looking at it from one point of view, just playing a waiting game. We've been called to be in God's kingdom, and we know that that kingdom shall be established when Jesus comes. We've got to wait for it. We've got to wait until we die or until he comes. That's it. And yet, in that waiting, we are to have the desire of our soul towards him, the things of his name, the things of his kingdom. So what is your dominant desire? This is a hard question, I suppose, because we cannot easily, by any sort of conscious sort of looking in the intellectual mirror, kind of see what precisely is in your heart. But you can see it, I think, really, by your life decisions. Is your career path the desire of your soul? Is the desire of your soul to be in that whatever profession or career? Is it that house? Is it that woman? Is it that man? Is it that idealized dream family that you imagine you shall have? Is it whatever, that car? What is the desire of your soul? What is your dominant desire? Well, the dominant desire that Isaiah talks about here is not simply being in the kingdom. He says your name and your renown are the desire of our soul. The name of God, as declared to Moses in Exodus 34, is essentially his characteristics, his personality, who he is. It's the things of the kingdom and the name. It's not simply, oh, I want to be in the kingdom, because that is not, I think, quite enough, because we are so dysfunctional that the idea of me personally living forever, well, yeah, okay, yeah, it is a motivator, but it's limited. Whereas the desire of our soul is not simply for my personal salvation, but it is for the things of his name, his glory, because quite simply we love him. And do you love God? That's a simple question. Because if you love God, you want to see the glorification, the articulation of all the characteristics that are in his name. You want to see his patience, his forgiveness, his salvation, all the things that make up who God is. You want to see those things extended and glorified. You want to see men and women responding, being forgiven, being saved. You want to see people being buried or cremated or whatever, dying in sure hope of the resurrection of the body. That's what you want to see, because it's going to glorify God's name. With my soul, verse 9, have I desired you in the night? Yes, with my spirit within me will I seek you earnestly. What do you think about at night? Well, of course, you don't know what you think about, but you do have going over in your mind what is your dominant desire. It comes out in maybe slightly weird forms sometimes, and you remember some of your dreams or whatever. But we're told that, David says that you shall search my thoughts at night and you'll find nothing wrong. I think that's a bit over-positive of David there about himself at that point. Maybe he thought differently after he sinned with Bathsheba. But the point is, God does search our thoughts at night. And Isaiah can say, with my soul have I desired you in the night. Yes, with my spirit within me will I seek you earnestly. If we are heart and soul in love with God, and we love his name, his characteristics, who he is, his patience, his justice, his final judgment of sin, his way, then this is what our desire will be for him. Not simply for my salvation, oh, I would love to be in God's kingdom. So there's a slight difference, if you see what I'm saying, between, oh, I want to be in God's kingdom, and saying my desire in the night is for you, God. Your name is the desire of our soul. See, that's slightly different, isn't it? Loving God for who he is, not for what you think you can get out of him in terms of getting eternal life or whatever. Let's face it, the kingdom of God, our eternal future, is going to be completely spiritual. It's going to be taken up with the things of God and his name. Now, this life is just a couple of millimeters compared to that eternally long line, the long line that has no end, of God's kingdom. It's going to all be about being spiritually minded forever and ever. Start now. If you don't like the idea of being spiritually minded, if you just want to listen to the radio, listen to the news and all that sort of stuff, because, well, yeah, that's all there is, well, do you really want to be in God's kingdom? Of course, we are clawed back by our situation in life, by society around us, by our thinking of the flesh, and we shall not attain perfection. That is unfortunately how it is. But there should be that desire that you see in Paul in Romans 7, where he says, in my spirit, in my soul, I desire to do good, but unfortunately I end up doing evil. But I love the law of God in my inward man. And so that is how it should be with us. And to provoke that spiritual mindedness, don't fill your mind with movies, with the things of this life, with the vapid, empty words of songs. Fill your mind with God's things. Listen to praise music, worship music. Have God's word playing on an app, on whatever. fill your mind with his things. Because really, when it comes to spiritual mindedness, it's garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage into your head, well, that's what you're going to think about. Yeah, you get lyrics from empty-minded songs going around in your head all the time. That's for the world. That's because they have nothing better. We are in relationship with God and the things of his name. Be spiritually minded. And God will confirm you in that, because of course our mind wanders. As Peter says, we must gather up our mind, like they used to gather up their long flowing garments and belt them up so they could run or move. We've got to keep gathering up our mind. But as I've said, he will keep you in that perfect peace. He will get involved in your mind through his spirit. You will keep whoever's mind is steadfast in perfect peace. God will confirm you in this desire for spiritual mindedness.